Father, we give you glory. We give you praise. We call the honor in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. I want to quickly appreciate the leadership of the church for this privilege to have me here tonight. I'm trusting the Lord that it will be a great blessing to you, even in the course of this meeting. I know you've been richly blessed already, given the array of ministers that have come. My brother was here last night, and I knew it was a great blessing. I'll just add a few blocks to what they've been building already, and we trust the Lord that your life will be transformed. Trust the Lord that your life will be transformed. I want to thank the leadership of the youth for this great privilege. I do not take it for granted. Especially thank our daddy in the house for lending us his platform to communicate the counsel of God. Tonight we'll be doing a very brief walk, and then we'll cap it off tomorrow by the mercies of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you give me sound at the background? I will soon take a flight, and I trust God that many will be carried. Many will be carried along. Precious Lord Jesus.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne.
You see, there are many things contending for your attention. There are many things striving to seclude you and bring you into a civilization that will enslave you to a government. A government that your soul has no authority over because it is submitted to it on account of your desire to submit to that which is taking your attention. It is called the business of spirits. Spirits are into soul businesses, soul transactions. The goal of spirits are not many. Spirits have one singular ambition. The ambition of spirits is to create a civilization, a government in this visible creation, where men are submitted to them to do their biddings and their counsel, so that which men do for them will become the meaning of their lives. And the gateway through which spirits get access to you are through the boundaries of your appetites. Without an appetite, it will be impossible for a spirit to access a human. You see, when God created man, He created him with a vacuum. That vacuum had a monitoring system, which is a hunger and a desire for the presence. But there was a distortion. The distortion that took place denatured the man God created. And on account of this denaturation of man, he sustained another kind of appetite different from the natural hunger that he had for God and his presence. And because of this new set of appetites that were created in man, it became possible for spirits to alight upon the souls of men in order to carry out businesses with these men. And man, unfortunately, could no longer operate at the height that he was designed to operate in, because his energy is now depleted. He's now submitted to a government other than the government of God. Before the denaturation took place, man had only hunger for God. And the Bible tells us that early in the morning, in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. And that was the height of man's satisfaction. The height of his satisfaction was that point where he had intercourse with the Spirit of God. That point where he came into koinonia with the Spirit of God. That was the beauty and the essence of his life. To find the presence of God every morning, alighting upon his soul and bringing him into intimacy with God. But when the denaturation took place, something happened. He sustained other sets of appetites. He developed lust. Lust and desires for things apart from God. Little did he know that these appetites he developed were actually the natures of different spirits that he gave allowance to on account of his obedience to their voice. What he thought was just an ordinary desire was beyond the desire. What he called a desire was actually a portal. A portal connected from his soul to another dimension. A dimension where spirits apart from the Spirit of God could alight upon him. The Bible gave us few instances. If you read the scriptures, you will see that these appetites connected man to different kinds of spirits. One is called the spirit of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12, the Bible said, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit of God to know the things that are freely given to us." And the spirit of the world connects to man through different sets of appetites. It was John that now gave us insight into the appetites that form the mast upon which the spirit of the world alights upon. John said, "Love not the world." He said, "For they that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them." He said, "What is the love of the world?" He said, "It is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life." These sudden desires that were bettered in the man were actually masks that the spirit of the world would alight upon. So immediately these appetites were created, this man suddenly became a slave to the spirit of the world. There are other sets of appetites. Other appetites created in this man were desire for deception, desire for wickedness. And that set of appetites were also masked that the devil alights upon. Jesus said, he said, "You are of your father, the devil." He said, because the devil, he said, "His wicked works will you do." And he said, "He was a liar from the beginning." So, characteristic of the devil are lying, deception, and wickedness. Suddenly, this man that, according to the framework of his design, was expected to sustain only the image and the likeness of God, has begun to sustain other tendencies that were not captured within the nature of God. The nature of God is the nature of righteousness and the nature of love. According to the design of man, he was desired by God, fabricated by God, only to sustain the nature of God, because he was made in the image and the likeness of God. And because he had only the nature of God, even though there were other spirits in the world, they could not interact with man. Neither could they participate in the protocol of creation. Because according to the government that God willed to man, man was the only one that had authority and dominion over the earth realm. So even though there was a lying spirit, there was no gate through which he could access the man, because those appetites had not been formed. You know, without the mast, without the MTN mast, the MTN network cannot function. The mast is what interacts with the network. It is the mast that traps the network. And until the network is trapped, there can be no communication. So when man was not denatured, he did not sustain the ability to interact with other spirits apart from God. The moment he allowed himself to come under their government, something happened. He became a mast that transmitted the frequency of darkness in a world that was supposed to be governed by the forces of light. He did not know the implication of what had happened. Wickedness had crept into the soul of man. Lying had crept into the soul of man. Different kinds of lust had crept into the soul of man. God decided to enact a new protocol that will alter the denatured man to come back and conform to the original design that he planned before the foundations of the world, which was for man to be made in his own image and his likeness. That protocol was consummated in Christ. And now that this design has been consummated in Christ, your ability to travel in it and be reestablished back and conform to the image of Christ is what it means to be grounded. Because if you have not been able to conform to the new protocol that Jesus himself has set up, until you become like Jesus, then there is nothing like groundedness. You know, in our world today, we have reduced everything to cerebrality. We think groundedness is your ability to interpret scriptures correctly. So groundedness in a new context now has to do with doctrinal exegesis. So because the man knows what to say to match up the doctrine, he has become a grounded person. Whereas we do not understand that there is no groundedness except we reconnect back to the Spirit of God. Because it is in our reconnection with the Spirit of God that we will sustain the new nature of God. And on account of that nature, we now develop the capacity to influence our world. We have now reduced groundedness to a mental activity. So people come to church. All they do is in their soul, in their minds. That's why you discover that when the sound is on, you are lively. Because the sound interacts with your emotions, and your emotions are a component of your soul. That's why when you come to church, you discover that sometimes you carry out so many activities. But the ones that impact directly on your spirit, you don't have the capacity to do it. Because the kind of training that you were exposed to are trainings that only amplifies the capacities of your mind. So spirituality in our world today is cerebrality. We have been disconnected completely from life. We have been disconnected completely from the spirit realm. Because we think our ability to quote scriptures, to explain scriptures, is tantamount to spirituality. And that is why every time we are confronted by the real life situation, we are helpless. Because what we do not know is that until we reconnect back to spirit, until we reconnect back to life, there is nothing that is called groundedness at all. Groundedness has nothing to do with your emotional frequency. It has nothing to do with your intellectual capacities. That's why the theologian does not know God, even though he knows every scripture and he knows every doctrine. It is deeper than what he thinks it is. So people have no ability to pray, but they know all the scriptures that talk about prayers. People have no ability to sustain a life of righteousness, but they go about, they can even preach it. People have no ability to demonstrate the characters of God, but they preach it every day because they talk the doctrine from their head. It is not coming from their spirit. I want to show you tonight, in Jesus' perspective, what it means to be grounded. In Jesus' perspective, what it means to live. Because life in itself is not what you think it is. Before you understand what life really is, you must have to journey back to the author of life to tell you what life is from his own plane of reference. There are many churches, there are many ministers of the gospel, but the world is going darker and darker. Because we have disconnected from life. We don't understand that what we are doing is actually spirit business. We are only called to be participators. What is actually going on has nothing to do with you. The people that are actually playing the game are spirits. You are only called in this realm to give expression to the things that are happening in their realm. You don't have a life. Life is actually giving expression to spirit realities. Because whether you like it or not, you will conform to a spirit. You will conform to a government. Whether you like it or not, you will align with the spirit. Whether you do it consciously or not, you have been designed to be a potter through which the spirit realm can invade the natural. But because you are not taught, you walk on in your ignorance. You think it's about what you have in your mind. And what you have in your mind have puffed you up so much that you think by talking what you know, you can impact the earth realm. It's a lie. That's not how the wise men of old saw it. And that is why their results are different from our own. And that is why their lives are more meaningful than ours. At the age of 17, David was a national figure. He challenged Goliath and defeated the enemy of Israel at the age of 17. It has nothing to do with age. Because you think it's cerebrality, that is why you think you must have to develop your brain to a level because before you are competent. When it comes into spirit context, even a child of 10 years can be a master. Because spiritual technologies are far from the mind. The mind is only included to give expression to the things that are spirits. I want to show you what Jesus thinks life is. And where you begin to live from. Because if you don't know it, you may be in church for 20 years. And you will think you are an elder. Because you have been in church for long. We don't calculate life by time. We calculate life by reality. And only men that journey into the realm of the spirit can trap reality. Many people in church, but everybody is weak. Many Christians in the market, but the market is a picture of hell. The market is an expression of governments that are orchestrated from Hades. Many people who call themselves Christians in government, but you cannot see an ember of light in governmental powers, governmental authorities. There is no light there because all we have is in our head. You don't carry a spirit in your head, you carry him in your heart. Spirits don't dwell in your brain. They can only dwell in your heart. Only your heart is large enough to accommodate a spirit. You don't know why you are in church for 20 minutes and you are tired. You don't know why you can go to every other place apart from the prayer meeting. You don't know why they can persuade you only to come to church, but every other place you persuade yourself. You don't understand what is happening. You are actually a puppet in the hand of a spirit. And until you have accurate understanding, you will not wake up to reality. I want to show you some basic truths in scriptures today so that you will know how you begin to live. By the time you know it, nobody will tell you to come to church anymore. By the time you know it, the prayer meeting will become the most populated meeting because that is where our reference is gotten from. If you do not connect to a spirit, you are like a balloon floating on the earth. What keeps you on earth is the force of gravity. If you become disconnected from the spirit that power creation, you are like a balloon floating. You cannot touch. You don't have a reference. Anywhere you float to, that is your new reality. Until you understand how these things work, then you will come back and plant yourself upon the mountains of Zion. Because only in Zion is the spirit of judgment made perfect. But some of us are not taught. We are not taught. So we come to church as another preoccupation. It's far. It's far. It's far. Let me read two scriptures before I begin to jump. John chapter 3 verse 1. It will help me explain what I'm trying to say. It will help me explain it. There are many young people today that are lost. They are lost. Many of us in church are lost. The kind of thoughts that go on in our mind, we can't control it. The kind of things we do, we can't control them. We have hidden, we have knelt down, we have cried, but we cannot understand why. We get more committed to activities, but we are still in bondage. We cannot understand why. It is simple. We are disconnected from the spirit. We know a lot about the spirit, but we don't know the spirit. You see, when you study mathematics, when you study chemistry, when you study geography, you can read it and know about it, and it's enough. But it doesn't work like that with spirits.
In spiritual context, knowledge has different depths. There is a knowledge that you know about, and there's a knowledge you know to become. In the context of spiritual realities, knowledge is not something you know about. Knowledge is something you apprehend. You become one with it. The world is called epignosis. But until you can travel into the spirit, you will never apprehend it. Many people are lost. Many have no reference. You see, even the so-called spiritual ones, every time they want to make a decision in life, that is where you see how confused they are. The ones that are spiritual, that think they are spiritual. You know, they think they are spiritual because they have their emotions. They have understood how to stir their emotions. So there is a kind of song they sing that stirs their emotion. When those songs begin to sing, they start crying. Some of them are even slain. They fall down. They are overwhelmed. And because they roll on the floor, they think they are spiritual. But when they want to make a decision about life, when they need the voice of God to tell them, take right, not left, that is when you discover that they are far from the spirit realm. Because they don't have understanding on how to connect to that dimension. There are a lot of things we do that are wrong. We are not taught. We are not taught correctly. And some of us have not received the ability to do. Let me show you something. John chapter 3 verse 1. The Bible said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Do you hear his credentials? He was what? A man. He was what? A Pharisee. His name was what? Nicodemus. He was what? A ruler. Do you see his credentials? You see, in our world today, such a man is a man that you will call highly spiritual. Why? Because of his credentials. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. You see that he knows about Jesus. We know that thou art what? A teacher come from God. For no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He also knows how God operates. He knows about Jesus to be a teacher come from God, and he also knows how God operates. God only works with people that he is with. So as far as doctrinal understanding was concerned, he was very accurate. We know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. But when Jesus answered him, Jesus left his realm. The realm Jesus talks from is not the realm where men talk from. Everything that they called valuable could not impress an immortal. Because the value systems of the immortals are different. You see, it is possible for me to appear on a white suit today, and then it looks as if I'm a holy man. But when you begin to judge from the scales of the immortals, the last thing they will see is my dress. The first thing the immortals will see is the texture of my heart. That is what impresses them. This one cannot pass through the veil of the divide. When Jesus began to address Nicodemus, he forgot about the fact that he was a Pharisee. He forgot about the fact that he was a ruler. He forgot about the fact that he was a teacher. You know, in the days of old, the Pharisees were like the highest college of learning as far as spiritual things were concerned. When he said, we know, he was not talking as an individual. He was making a statement that the whole sect have deliberated on and the conclusions that they arrived at. And this sect is called the Sanhedrin. These were the most learned of men in the days of their time as far as spiritual realities were concerned. Among the Sanhedrins are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and some of the scribes. And even in the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees were seen to be more learned. They were called doctors of the law. In fact, they had so much authority in their day that if you begin a ministry, they will send to you and say, by whose authority are you doing what you are doing? Because they are the ones that accredit people to do ministry. Just the way
No university will be recognized today unless NUC gives it accreditation. In the days of old, if the Pharisees do not accredit your ministry, you are making noise. They can shut you down. That was why when John began in the wilderness, they sent to him, by whose authority are you doing what you are doing? Tell us so that we will go back and tell them. Anything they say became the counsel of God. They were seen as wise men. They were seen as people that nobody could match whenever you began to talk about spiritual things. But when this man came to Jesus, the first thing Jesus began to address was his foundation. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, this kingdom that you are trying to talk about, you can't even see it, because where you are standing is defective. You must stand on a spiritual ground before you can even understand the things you want to talk about. The things you want to talk about, they are bigger than your mind. Your mind cannot comprehend it. You must have to be born of a spirit before you can begin to talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not for the learned. The kingdom of God is for the spiritual. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word see is the word perceive. He cannot understand the kingdom of God. So forget the fact that you are a Pharisee. Forget the fact that you are a part of the Sanhedrin. Forget the fact that you are a ruler. You cannot know the kingdom unless you are born of the Spirit. So in verse 6 it says, that which is spirit is spirit. That which is flesh is flesh. All your revelation came from the flesh. You cannot engage me because I am not in the flesh. The things you are attempting to do, the energy level is not in the flesh. You see, some of you attempt to carry out spiritual transactions with the energy of the flesh. It will not pass the taste of the mortals. That's why as you do it, when your energy is exhausted, you become tired. But the truth is that if you connect and plug into the energy of the spirit, the more you do it, the stronger you become. Because the path of the just is as a shining light, shining brighter and brighter. So any activity you begin to engage that is born of the spirit, the more you do it, the stronger you become, not weaker. So the foundation is wrong. You can't talk about these matters. Some of us come when everything we begin to do, you just see flesh. And then we keep doing it, appraising ourselves, recording ourselves as perfect, but it is born in the flesh. It cannot pass the taste of the mortals. Let me show you something. Psalm 82 verse 6. I'm trying to stay calm because I'm seeing a lot of young people. I don't want to lose them. Psalm 82 verse 5. It says, they know not, neither do they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of their course. Now, what the scripture is trying to show is this. The moment you are not built on the spirit, the moment what you are doing is not established on the premise of a spirit, he said, first, there is a knowledge gap. Everything you think is wrong. No matter how right you say it, it is wrong because what? It is not established on the reality of a spirit. Secondly, he said, you cannot even understand what you are talking about. That's why most of us are talking prayer, but we are not making progress by prayer because we don't understand what prayer is. That's why most of us are talking church, but we are not making progress by church. That's why most of us are calling ourselves Christians, but nothing about us resembles the life of God because you cannot understand. And then thirdly, he said they walk in darkness. Every step you take will be wrong. You want to get married, you check, 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 you calculate, you calculate. After you have checked all the modalities and you have made your decision is wrong. And you may not know it now. It's after 10 years you will discover. Why? They walk on in darkness. Because the manual have been removed.
The spirit is not the basis for the operation. You check your life for a moment. What was the last thing you did by an express instruction of the Holy Ghost? Just take a scan for a moment. Then you discover where you are. What was the last thing you did that was inspired by the Holy Spirit? Including the job you are doing now. Including where you are now. Including the words that proceed from your mouth. When was the last time you took a decision or you carried out an action that was inspired by the Holy Ghost? But all of us are rhema talkers. All of us are lofty people with lofty minds. But we cannot remember the last decision we took. And we took because God says to do it. Why? You walk on in darkness. Most of us, our life is a function of trial and error. What is keeping us is the residual grace that God put in creation. If not for the mercies of God that is factored into creation, by now would have been crushed. Nothing we do that is based on an express instruction of God, even those of us in ministry, those of us who are in campus ministry, who are leaders, we do things by strategy. He said there is a knowledge gap. Knowledge in this context is experience. It's experience. The experience of God is limited. It's no longer there. So we can't discern the mind of God. But the apostles, when they took decision, they took it by the Holy Ghost. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verse 28, they said, "He pleased the Holy Ghost and us that we should not laden you with more burdens." There was an experience of God. So they could pick the mind of God. They could discern the movements of God. So they took their decisions based on what God is taking and what God is thinking at that time. They were always in sync with the present revelation position of the Spirit of God. They knew what God is thinking per time. They understood the emotions of God. He said, "He pleased the Holy Spirit and us." It pleased the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you took a decision because it pleased the Holy Spirit? You can't even know it because there's a knowledge gap. What you do is not born of the Spirit. It's born of the flesh. And Jesus said, no matter how you paint it, it's flesh. Be it prayer. Your prayer is born of the flesh. Jesus said, it is flesh. Your tongue talking, is born of the flesh. Jesus said, it's flesh. No matter how loud you say it, they can give you all the effects on the keyboard and it becomes very loud. Jesus said, it is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The mortals only judge things based on the spirit that powers them. We have a challenge in the body of Christ. Many congregations, many crowds, but full of flesh. If you read that scripture in context, you will think Jesus' emphasis was only about being born again. But when you go a bit further, then you discover that it did not stop with the born again experience. It has to do with everything you do in your life, including where you go every day, including every word you utter. Because in verse 8, Jesus said, "As the wind bloweth, as the wind bloweth, that thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth." He says, "So are they that are born of the Spirit." The moment you are born of the Spirit, according to Jesus' scale, every other thing you begin to do from then forward is inspired by the Holy Ghost. If it is true that you are born of the Spirit, the knowledge gap will be removed. The difficulty in understanding will be worked on. You will now become one with the Holy Spirit, just the way the wind is one.
Groundedness is to be infused with the life of God. Groundedness is to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. If you study the book of Matthew chapter 16, from verse 14, Jesus said, "Who do men say I am?" And then the apostles came, and then they submitted all the theology of their time. He says, some say, they were referring to the sects. Some say, you are John the Baptist. That was the theology of that generation. Some say, you are Elias. Some say, you are Jeremiah. Others say, you are one of the prophets. So the whole theologian of that generation got it wrong. It is possible for a whole generation to be wrong about a context. It is possible for a whole generation to be wrong about a truth. It is possible for a whole generation not to be accurate, regardless of who is saying it. Because if it is not born of the Spirit, it can never pass the taste of the immortals. The Pharisees probably say you were John. The Sadducees probably said you were Elias. The scribes probably said you were Jeremiah. Others said you are one of the prophets. All of them were wrong. That is why they could never grow. That is why they could never be built in God. When they saw the Jesus they were looking for in the scriptures, they could not recognize him. Because their knowledge was a function of mental rigor. Is it not what we do today? We go to preach and we carry concordances. We search on Google and then we formulate our messages there and we go to preach. We are talking one thing on our lips and our heart is different. You are a leader in a fellowship. You are telling others to pray, but you never pray. Why? It is born of the flesh. But Jesus asked fishermen who were never schooled, and one of them spoke by the Spirit. And the only statement he made, a one-sentence statement that he made, was correct. And it defied the statements that were made by all the bodies of truth in a whole generation. That is what it means to be born of the Spirit. If what you do is not born of the Spirit, it will perish with you. And even if you cross to the other side of eternity, not one of it will go with you. That is why it is stringent. These matters are stringent. These matters are important. But a lot of us don't understand. I began by telling you that everything we are doing here, everything we are doing is an activity of spirits. The clothes all of us are wearing here is an activity of spirits. What all of us are thinking right now is an activity of spirits. Men do not have the capacity to create. Men do not have the capacity to originate anything. The thoughts in our heads now are activities of spirits. The clothes all of us decided to wear to this place are activities of spirits. Life is more spiritual than its natural. The natural dimension is only a picture of the spiritual dimension. The seen dimension is only a revelation of the unseen dimension. You can't create anything. You can't burn or give birth to anything. Science has improved for more than 2 million years, but they have not been able to create a blade of grass. As simple and casual as it is, as advanced as technology is, they can't create a blade of grass. We are not designed to be creative. We were designed to be yielded. That is where our life begins to find meaning. It's possible for you to come into time and think it's all about business and money. And then you make money all your life. It's possible for us to come to time and think it's all about fashion. And then you make fashion all your life. And you never connected to the spirit realm until you depart. It's a game of spirits. You and I, we are in a league of spirits. They are using us the way we use chess boards. We are in a game of spirits. Whether you know it or not, we are participants of the purposes of spirits. So you must learn and make up your mind to know how. You must begin to live from the spirit realm. If you don't get there, everything you know and your experience is a waste. All the meetings you go and fall on the ground is a waste. Because your life begins to count the day the Holy Ghost is given opportunity to live through you. That has been his ambition all the while. The Holy Ghost has no other ambition. He wants to live. He wants to manifest Jesus. And the only chamber he has to manifest Jesus is you and I. The day Jesus begins to live through you by the Holy Spirit, that's the day your life begins to count. You can live for 50 years, your life will not count. Because as far as the divine side is concerned, you were only giving expression to different spirits apart from God. Some of us, our walls are a reflection of different spirits. Our dress code is a reflection of different spirits. Our energies and our abilities is a reflection of different spirits. So you can gossip for 4 hours. You can quarrel for 3 hours. But you cannot pray for 3 hours. The energy that emits through your vessel is a reflection of a spirit. The day Jesus begins to live through you, that's the day you are relevant. And life is short. What you call time is not up to a dot in eternity. You are only living on this side. That is why you think it's large. In the immortal side, it's like a dot. Because it is not controlled by time. It's not governed by time. When you go into immortality, 100 years will be a moment. It will be a moment. That was why Moses could climb a mountain and was there for 40 days. And he saw everything that happened from when the world was created up to where he was standing. How can he see that? Only Adam lived for 930 years. Methuselah lived for 969 years. How was Moses able to see everything that have happened through many generations only in 40 days? The realm he was looking into is not governed by time. Why then will you think your own value should only be calculated in terms of time? What a waste. You go to a realm where time is not relevant, and then all you have, all your resources, all your value can be calculated in terms of time. You have been wasted. The only thing that can strike a mark in eternity are the things that are born by those spirits. So when you institute their reality here in time, by the time you journey back to their realm, you become a pillar. You are called a memorial for eternity. Because the reason why that spirit found expression in time is because you gave him access. So when you go back into his world, you will share in his glory. If all you gave access to is the devil, by the time you journey back to eternity, you will share with him. Because spirits are into leagues with men. Why would you not begin to give value to your life? Some of us spend all our value time on the things that appeal to our appetites. Either because of the house we want to build, the savings we have, we expand all our energies pursuing those ambitions. What a waste. What a waste. Has time itself not taught you enough lessons? The people that pursue those things, where are they? The houses that were the best houses 50 years ago, today they are trash. You have not gone to eternity yet. The only difference is that you came 50 years after the man that labored to build that house. If only that man had the understanding you have now, he would not have wasted his time on that house. Because you came after him, by reason of the time you came into this world, you are wiser than him. Because you saw everything he lived for is a waste. Already in time, you have not gone to eternity yet. And then you have not been educated enough. You are living the same way, so that the people that will come 50 years after you, we also know that your life was a waste. Time is a journey of value. You are giving value systems from eternity to sustain and to transact with them in time. Maybe I should just tell you a little about spirit civilization. I didn't want to talk about mysteries. But maybe let me just tell you about a little about spirit civilizations. Maybe to open your eyes before we begin to pray. Tonight I've not come to do so much of doctrine.
I've just come to charge up your spirits. I've come to stir up your pure hearts so that you begin to see better. Because if you see with only what you are seeing today, if you see with the vistas you are seeing today, you may end up a wasted in eternity. That's why a large church like this can be empty. Where there are many vibrant youths, you expand your energy on other things. The day your life begins to count, people will find out where you are coming from. They will follow you. It's not to come and tell people, go and do evangelism. All you need to do is to burn. Somebody asked John Wesley, how are you able to gather the crowds? He said, I set myself on fire and the world comes to watch me burn. The world comes to watch me burn. They called Jesus the prince of devils. It didn't matter. The crowd pursued him. Because he was on fire. He was burning. He was a mystery to everything the theologians knew. You can talk against him, but you can't deny his results. So he went into the wilderness. 5,000 men pursued him there. You come to church every day alone. That's because nobody knows the God you are serving. You don't look like him. The day you begin to look like the God you are serving, everybody will follow him. It will shock you to know that Jesus never called us believers. Jesus never called us saints. Jesus never called us Christians. He called us witnesses. The word witness means exhibit. You are the proof that Jesus is real. And if your life cannot validate the existence of Jesus, then you are a waste. Because in eternity, your name is supposed to be an exhibit. When you came into time, who did you prove to that Jesus is God? The Muslim guy believes there's a God, but he doesn't believe Jesus is God. The only thing that will make him believe Jesus is God is because the exhibit is still in this world. But if you have not touched the spirit, all you have is in your head. So the guy who studies more than you, he will confound you. But the day you enter the spirit, what you bet is spirit life. Most of us are not living. We are just breathing oxygen. The day Jesus lives through you, that is the day your life begins to count. If you forget everything, don't forget that. The day Jesus begins to live through you, that is the day your life begins to count. It's not a function of age. It's a function of obedience. Yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. Yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. There are places where they don't have chairs. People come to stand. You have a large auditorium. Nobody is sitting inside. You are a waste. You are not a profitable youth. You may feel bad, but that's the truth. Because you are the one Jesus depends on. Have you not heard that the Bible said, who will tell him to descend back? He can't come back. You are here for him. And if Jesus was here, it doesn't matter what people think or what people say. The crowd will be here. And beyond the crowd, their lives will be transformed. What are we using our energies for? What are we using our energies for? A revival is coming. And that is what will determine those who will be relevant in the next generation. But how many of us will be caught up in that way? How many will be caught up in that way? We want to hear sweet things. We want to hear lofty things. We want to hear inspiring things. You have been inspired for many years. What has it resulted to? At this level, they still beg some people to come to church. You still have to send text message for them to come to church. In heaven, it doesn't matter who was leading you. What matters is, what did you do with the Holy Ghost that was put in you? God invested in every one of us the Holy Ghost, so we would not have any excuse. That's why he said, you don't need any man to teach you. He said, that anointing that is in you teaches you all things. You don't need anybody to inspire you. You don't need anybody to set you on fire. The Holy Ghost is doing more than enough. You are refusing to yield. That's why you are where you are. And like I told you, these are matters of spirit civilization. You don't know the game spirits are playing over your life. That's why you think it's a joke. Adam thought it was all about fruits. He didn't know that his destiny was being bargained. When the Spirit comes to you, it shows you a good path. But the end is destruction. There is a good that has destruction at the end. That good is of the devil. The devil is not all bad. There is a good in the devil, but the end of his good leads to death. That is why he shows you that path, to deceive you, to beguile you. It's called the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Good has never been tamed with evil, but there is a good in devil that leads to evil. It leads to death. It leads to destruction. That's why he shows you that path, and then you enjoy, you think it's good. But at the end of the day, he's bargaining your destiny. Being set on fire is not to be, is not to hear things that inspire you and you are jumping. Being set on fire is not to hear sounds that make you feel excited. Being set on fire is for spirit to be literally transferred into you. A higher intensity of spirit. When it's imparted into you, his character dominates you. That's why you see a madman behaving the way he's doing. He is overdosed by spirit of madness. So he cannot but manifest madness. When you see a girl dressing lustfully and carrying out sexual activity, it's not that she's been on fire. She was overdosed by a spirit of immorality. She can't control it. Everywhere she goes, she manifests it. The same way, if an intensity of the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you become a mobile Holy Spirit. You'll come to a place people are burning. As you are talking, he's rising on your inside. As you are praying, he's rising on your inside. You don't come to shout in the place of prayer. You come to be stirred so that you can go to higher corridors, higher chambers in eternity, where you will utter words from and you will be seen as a judge. Being on fire is not what you think it is. This thing is spirit business. You follow him until he saturates you. When he saturates you, his character is seen over you. His abilities are seen over you. His wisdom is seen all over you. That is when you are grounded. It's not when you want to read books and then you come to talk it to spike people. It's folly. It's folly. You don't know this city where you are was built on blood and enchantment. That's why you think you can come here and then you will be what you want to be. No. Your thoughts have been already conditioned before you were born. There is no city that is built without the intelligence of spirits. Spirits are responsible for building cities. If you study the scripture, you will find it. Egypt was built by Leviathan that was lying in the Red Sea. He built Egypt. If you are in Egypt, you must submit to the government of Leviathan. When God delivered Israel, he didn't just deliver them. He was the one that had in the heart of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a subject of Leviathan. When God finally wanted to let them go, he didn't go to Pharaoh. He went to judge the gods of Egypt. Exodus chapter 12 verse 12. He said, tonight I will pass through Egypt, slay all their first son, and I will judge the gods of Egypt. When the gods of Egypt were judged, Pharaoh's hand opened. Cities are built by spirits. They have their wise men that controls and regulates the minds of those who are supposedly rulers. And they bring them counsels that are conformed to the desires of those spirits. If you study Babylon, the mighty city of Babylon was built by sorcery and astrology. It has nothing to do with the strength of Nebuchadnezzar. They are wise men. They fabricate the texture of a city. So when you come into that city, the only way you can stay righteous is until you are aligned to a government. So the reason Daniel was different is because he connected and plumbed to his own God. The Bible said they could not find any occasion against Daniel except as he borders on his relationship with his God. In Daniel chapter 6 verse 5. That was why Daniel was righteous in Babylon. Because Babylon was built on astrology. It was built on sorcery. And if you are in Babylon and you don't have another God, you must be a subject
of that astrology. You think you are in Enugu and you do what you want. You are not wise. Wise men have designed the foundation of this land. When you come, you will discover after many years that you are like somebody that passed before. It's a genealogy, a spiritual genealogy have been put in place. You will find things peculiar to everybody here, they will do it. The campuses you go to were built by intelligence of witchcraft. So you will enter a virgin, you will come out a lesbian. It is stronger than the powers of your will. It's a technology of spirits. So when you are raising people and it's all about counsel, inspiration, and doctrine, it's a waste. People must be caused to go deep until they touch the waters of the spirit. That is when they are established in God. You have not touched those foundations, it's a waste. Did you not watch Merlin? You think Great Britain was built because they had intelligent scientists? They were built by spirits. The kings are there winning wars, think they are winning wars. They are functions of sorcery. In the demonic, oh my God. I can't talk to you about the demonic. If I tell you about the demonic, you know why you are doing what you are doing. The things you think you are doing in the hiding. You just realize that you are playing a script. A script that was written in the spirit realm. You have been programmed. If God begins to open your eyes, you will understand why you must yield to the Holy Spirit. The things you will do wrong from now to the end of December, they are already written down. And demons have been mobilized to manipulate your mind to do it. Those scripts keep unfolding. They keep unfolding. They keep unfolding. Demons are on duty on your head. If God opens your eyes, you will marvel. You think you like the girl. You are not wise. Whispering spirit are choking your mind with thoughts, and you think you are thinking. Spirits, they are wiser than you. You can't understand their ways. You only discover the one that is good and you submit to him, and his name is the Holy Ghost. You see, Paul was a man of doctrine, teaching people the ways of God. A point came, he discovered that if he does not introduce the syllables of warfare, the people are lost. When Paul was introduced to the demonic texture, the demonic ranking, that was when his ministry changed. Suddenly, Paul, that will tell you are complete in Christ. Paul, that will tell you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Paul, that will tell you there is now no condemnation. Paul, that will tell you that you are a God. Paul now begins to tell you, brother, casting down imagination and every high standing thing that opposes itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity all things to the obedience of Christ. He said, when your obedience is complete, then you can avenge other disobedience. At first, you will think, with the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. No. Every knee only bow when your own obedience is complete. Those were the things Paul began to discover when he began to journey into the Spirit. As he began to journey into the Spirit, he now began to discover a lot of things. That there are governments doing this thing. And if you don't submit to one government, you don't have authority to challenge another government. So he said, when your own obedience is complete, that is when you can avenge other obedience. And then he journeyed from there again. He now began to tell you that you can cast out demons, but there are some other beings in the demonic that you cannot cast out. Those ones are not demons. He said they are fallen angels. He said you war with them. Those ones will fight you. You don't cast them out. You fight with them because they will war with you. Perhaps when you collide with a demon, you cast it out. And the reason a demon will possess somebody is because the demon has no body. So it's needing body in order to express itself. He said, but there are others called fallen angels. They are in different ranks. Some of them are principalities. Some are powers. Some are rulers of darkness. He says some are spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. He said those ones, you must war with them. And he said first, for you to war with them, there are things you must have to do. One, you must be strong in the Lord. You must be strong in the Lord. You know what it means to be strong in the Lord? You must be established in God, in truth and in verity. You must submit sufficiently to the government of Jesus to a point where you have no life anymore. Jesus is the one living through you. At that point, when you come out, it's Jesus that moves. He said, then you are strong in the Lord. He said, then you must be strong in the power of his might. The word power there is the word kratos. The word might is the word iskos. Kratos is dynamic power. The power that you receive in the Holy Ghost is called dunamis. That is potential. Kratos is, you must have traded with dunamis until that thing is converted to dynamic power. This light you are seeing is kratos. What is in the generator is dunamis. You must work with dunamis until it becomes on to generate this light. He said when you are able to activate dunamis and is converted to kratos, then you must also learn how to interact in the spirit realm until you can sense angels and partner with them in warfare. Because the word iskos means collaborative power. It means governmental power. It means cooperative and synergistic power. You must become alive in the spirit to a level where you can discern the movement of angelic beings. That was what Daniel had. Before Daniel confronted with the prince of Persia, he understood how to speak with Gabriel and Michael. Because you don't fight principalities. Angels fight angels. What you do is that you partner on earth and give them support through prayers. So Paul is telling us, it's not enough to be a believer. It's not enough to be born again. You must trade with the things of God until you become, it becomes real to you. The power of God you receive in the Holy Ghost, you can't just keep saying, I have power, I have power. You must interact with it in tongues, in fasting, and in prayers until that power becomes palpable. You can transmit it. You must be strong in the place of prayer where you can stand until you yourself, you are activated into another realm and your spiritual systems come alive, where you can pick sounds and vibration in the spirit. He said that is where you can confront a fallen angel. And if you don't do it, you talk against them. What you have done is trespass. They will shoot you with that. That's why you see a lot of people are cut off. They come to preach because they want to impress people. They now begin to challenge principalities. He said they will throw darts at you. You don't understand spiritual technologies. When you fraternize with the devil and you choose not to follow him again, he will cut you off. And there is nothing God will do about it. If you die, you go to heaven. The Bible says, precious in the eyes of God is the death of a saint. So the devil is not an option to choose. By the time you choose him, you have entered under his dominion. Coming back from there must be total surrender to Jesus. He will frustrate your life, make a waste out of you, until a point comes where you are no longer relevant. If you are not careful, your soul will be choked. I tell you things that I have experience of. I'm not just telling you things because I read them. The spirit realm is beyond books. It's beyond books. There are 66 chapters in the Bible. If you read 185 chapters every day, you read the whole Bible in 2 weeks. The spirit realm is bigger than that. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than books. God is bigger than books. The scriptures are only gateways through which you enter into experience. That scripture you think you know is bigger than you know it. What you are reading is a word. By the time it opens to you, you will travel and you will never see the end of it. It's bigger than books. It's a realm of life. And everybody is summoned into that realm so that you can have participatory experience with the Holy Ghost. God is going somewhere with your life, but he wants you to give him an excuse to fulfill it. Enough of escaping while the mission is still on. Enough of turning to your own senses. The Bible says it's not given to man that walketh to order his step. You cannot. You don't know the beginning from the end. You don't know as you are now You can't stand up and say this is where the world ends. You don't have such knowledge. How much more eternity? Can you see tomorrow morning? It's not fabricated in the natural. It is in the spirit. Do you know when the sun will rise? Do you know the day where there will be no sun anymore? When you die, by what technology will you be ferried through the portals of the great divide? Where will your soul go to? Right now that you are sitting, where is your soul in your body? Where is your spirit? By what means can you think and imagine your house? Does it not occur to you that you are bigger than everything you are seeing? How dare you calculate your life based on all that you know about yourself? You are bigger than this. You are interacting with spirits that you don't even know their names. They are trying to establish a government over you so that you can be separated from God forever. But one thing you must do is to refuse every spirit of having dominion over you by submitting to Jesus. He says, submit yourself to God, then you can resist the devil. You are bigger than you think you are. Who told you your emotions originate from your mind? Who told you what you are thinking, you are the one thinking it? Do you know the beings that are whispering into your mind? Do you know the boundaries of your mind? Where does your mind end? If you have traveled to Lagos before, right now, sitting in this room, you can still see Lagos. So who told you the boundaries of your mind can be contained in time? Your mind is bigger than time. The Bible said He has put eternity in our hearts. Our heart is as big as the world. Bigger than the world. That is why you can imagine angelic beings. That is why you can imagine a world that you have never traveled into. Because your mind is a boundless entity. Why do you reduce yourself to your feelings, to your appetites? There are spirits in this business. Some of you, the reason you think so much about immoral things is because your DNA is designed with a prophetic anointing. But demons want to corrupt it so that you can see through a defective vista. You are seeing a lady, you are imagining her nakedness when you should be looking into the chambers of her heart and telling her the counsel of God. The prophetic dimension of you is what gives your mind a robust imaginative capacity. It is not for feeling, it's not for sensation. It's to fulfill a mandate that is bigger than you. And every time you submit yourself to God, what happens is that your life becomes a corridor through which another purpose is born in eternity. Through you, God can reach out to many more generations. He called only Abraham. Until today, you and I are the sons of Abraham. What if he disobeys? Do you know how far your obedience can go with God? Who told you it ends with you? Who told you? Who told you? You reign. You ancient Zion's King. Cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign. You ancient Zion's King. Cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Do you know why we worship Him? It's called Alpha Omega. He's at the end before the beginning began. He knew you'd be here today before the world was created. He knew you would wear this shirt even this night before the world was created. He said the very hairs of your head, they are numbered. The one you bowed last week, He knows the number of every hair, every strand that fell. He's Alpha, He's Omega. He's the all-wise God. He's the all-wise God. Everything depends on Him for survival. But it doesn't depend on anything. Before the world was created, He was. He said He's the one who was, who is, and who is to come. When the world is wrapped away like a canopy, He will still be there. His name is Eternal God, the all-wise one. You cannot understand His frame because He's formless. How do you design the shape of the one that created all designs? He has no purpose, He has no destiny, yet He gives destinies to men. It is in Him that we began, and only in Him can we end. Every one of us is a statement of the different dimensions of His reality. Not just you and I, even the angels. Gabriel is a representation of God. Michael is a representation of God. And can I tell you something? There are more than 100 trillion angels. All of them came out of Him. The mountains came out of Him. The rocks came out of Him. The waters came out of Him. He is the I am that I am. Having no beginning, no end.
You want to pray now and worship him? You want to talk to him from the depth of your heart? Shabara papa teke bos kabaras. Ilalabandre kiro parodatas. Shapa presto preta biras. Rakapapas kapas kapas. Shalabapapakoa. Sika bondo separida. Salivana marienda paradinoske. Brafilo sobre nataparista. Rahiba rahapapapones. He can write a new story. He can begin with you afresh tonight. He can begin afresh tonight. There is no end with him. His name is Alpha and Omega. Eka bondre prese venatalis, brasiboto paravidas, rega papa basca, o bella cubre la cadamanda sale. Oase, oase. Talk to Jesus. Forget the sensation. I can throw all of you on the floor, but it will not change your life. Only spirits can transform man. Only spirits can transform man. No sensation has the capacity to transform your destiny. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Savele Venetasso.
Instructing your heart time and again, you have run away. Summons to the place of prayer, you have refused. Summons to the place of evangelism, you have refused. Some of you have been willing, but the energy to bring to pass have never been there. But tonight you want to say, God, if you are there and you do business with men, do business with me. Come, let me pray with you. I'm more interested in serious business than people falling down. For mercy, you have been rebellious, but tonight you want something tangible. You are falling down in many meetings, you are falling down, but your life is not changing. You have been in bondage to secret sins. You know there is a fire burning in you, but every time you commit that immorality, your soul descends. You can no longer ascend. You don't know why.
Some of you, every December, you try from January, but when it is December, you must fall out of immorality. A demon has been coronated over your life. It's a time of change. It's a day of transformation. A day of empowerment. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Of time, the fire of God will literally begin to rest on you, and I mean fire, the fire of God. Some of you, it will burn your heart. Some of you, it will burn your hands as a sign that God is bringing you a visitation. You see that you can no longer control the hand. The fire of God, the fire. Some of you, your legs will begin to burn. Your legs will begin to burn. Precious Spirit of the Living God, look upon your people. Just play only the keyboard, very low now. I want to pray. Let the fire descend. What some of you need is fire. You have too much courtesy and decorum to preach the gospel. You are too gentle. You are too conscious of people. A man on fire does not know courtesy. There's no courtesy with a man on fire. Have you seen a man burning before? Sometimes he runs naked into the market. He's looking for water. There's no courtesy about fire. And so, precious Spirit of the Living God, I ask that your fire will begin to descend upon your people. Burn in them. Holy Ghost. Touch now. Let every debris that have been planted in them by demons be burnt off in the name of Jesus. Burn on their inside. Shaka babrese vede manaska. Omele sabrestes. Let God do His work. Shababababas. Rakabateke boboske. Meritobonda sapradigas. Rafateke borobosandere digas. Rapaparitas. Radiata Safila Mandre Kiropondos Rapa Pasotos Baraziros Baraziros. Never again will the devil have sway over you. Never again. Shaki Baratabes Presevendo Presevendo Rekebira Parazondo Sataya Rakibasetebes Rakibasades Shobarata Kapapas. Come on! Let the fountains of the deep be stirred tonight. Beyond tradition, church cliche, let the fire of God burn within the chambers of your heart. Let dimensions that were locked down before now begin to find expression. Shaki Barazilos. Ambrese penetra cadisca, Tarazino sendre kila paras, Morozindo saprateges, Shalavina sombre na casata, Rapapate che bondo sorisca. Let God walk on your inside. Let Him walk. And even while you are kneeling down, some of you will begin to have visions and encounters about your destiny. Encounters. Even right now, let your spiritual senses begin to open. Let your spiritual senses begin to open. Open. I bring you into realms of encounters. The Lord Himself appears to you. Angelic visitations that will bring alive your destiny. impartations of spiritual energies. Bless you.